Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 23rd of June, 2014, the podcast that kicks your tires and checks your fluids. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Charles Thomas and Jonathan Lochey. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Great to be back.
Before we begin, I want to talk about a parking ticket I got yesterday. And it's weird because I got the ticket for pulling into a parking space the wrong way. It wasn't a city street or anything. It was a strip mall parking lot, and I just parked the way everyone else did, and that's just kind of how traffic flows through. But, you know, this cop just went down the line writing tickets to everyone, and we all got fined $25. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. At the bottom of the ticket are several infractions and what the fine is in the city of Huntersville, and the cop just checks off the one he's writing you the ticket for. So here are some other things that you can get a $25 fine for in the city of Huntersville. Parking in a fire lane, parking within 15 feet of a fire hydrant, parking in front of a private driveway, and parking in a no parking zone. But it's $50 if you allow a dog to run at large, a child safety ordinance, noise ordinance violation, public display or consumption of alcoholic beverage, so if you even have an alcoholic beverage where it can be seen, and illegally discharging a firearm. $50 fine.
Yeah.
Shooting off a gun. $50. And it's, get this, a $100 fine for a handicapped parking violation or soliciting without a permit.
Wow.
So according to the city of Huntersville, North Carolina, it's twice as bad to engage in a voluntary, mutually beneficial economic exchange than it is to discharge a firearm.
There you go.
So I guess shoot off all the guns you want, but don't you dare engage in unfettered capitalism.
Yes, how dare you try to better yourself? Screw you. You must depend on the state for the rest of your life.
Unless you grovel to us and we deign to give you a permit, and then it's okay because now you've kissed the high priest's ring, and so now it's fine.
You should come to the Walmart that I have to usually go to, man. You'll see like 10 cars parked in the no parking fire lane area. Last time I went, there was some dude who literally parked his car at like the cross section of four spots.
And no tickets on any of the windshields?
Nope.
It's either everyone gets away with it or they just go down the line writing tickets from those ridiculous things possible. Like backing into a parking spot is this big danger to everyone. I don't know. All right, let's dope slap the news of the bogus. And guess what? There's another whooping cough epidemic in California.
You know, I'm not even surprised. Hey, you know, and thank you so much, Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It helps so many people and saves so many lives.
Yeah.
You know?
So far this year, between January 1st and June 10th, 3,458 cases of pertussis were reported. That's well ahead of the number of cases reported for all of 2013. And they estimate that only 1 in 10 cases are counted, so the real number is probably much higher. And unlike a lot of vaccines, pertussis needs a booster every 10 years. So, you know, you have your Tdap booster, that's tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis. So please check your records. If you haven't gotten it in the last 10 years, guess what? You need it. So a lot of adults don't have their boosters, and that's a big problem for herd immunity. And California has also found clusters of parents, areas where there are a lot of parents who don't vaccinate their children. And guess what? Those are the areas where they're seeing outbreaks.
And you know what? It's funny. And I did the dumb thing. I looked at the comments. Why
do you do that? I didn't even bother this time. I can predict it. I know exactly what it's going to be.
Oh, goodness. This one, the top one. This was 17 hours ago. It's like, yeah, that's exactly what California wants you to do, is to get a vaccine. Anyone wonder why our government is screwing around with H1N1, rabies, anthrax, West Nile, to name a few? I don't know if it's trolling or this person is just this stupid. Because if it's trolling, I'm like, okay, I get it, haha. But sometimes,
yeah.
it'd be funny if it wasn't so sad.
Yeah.
I mean, and the sad thing is, everybody predicted this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said it was coming.
Kind of like the war in Iraq and how badly that is. You don't get, and here's the thing. We told you the things that was going to happen. Everyone knew this was going to happen. And, you know, people were like, well, you know, it's not that bad. No, it is this bad. It's going to get even worse if people don't start vaccinating.
It's one thing to be open and skeptical and to question things. It's another to, just because public schools force kids to get vaccines, or just because the government recommends vaccines, that doesn't automatically make them bad. You know, this is the same line of thinking that, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, that the government invented HIV and crack cocaine to kill all the black people. there was a certain line of demarcation of being skeptical and just being crazy.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of it also is, it's like, oh, I discovered something that all these smart people don't know. All these smart people are saying vaccines are good. I found out they're bad. Wow, look how smart I am. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, this example, which I, from the comments, I'm sorry. If you, please, if you have any sharp materials, yeah. Keep them away from you people.
I'll put away anything I can slash my wrists with, because I have a feeling this is going to be.
It says this. How have we as a species managed to survive all the way up to the 20th century without vaccinations? Wow.
Wow! He's right! He's convinced me! Yes, what a great argument!
It's not like the bubonic plague or anything happened.
Yeah.
Or anything
else. Not like 95% of the Native American population got wiped out in under a century.
Yeah, smallpox, who cares about that? And here's the thing. It said, this thing says, well, by ramping up human reproduction rates, this person commented and said, well, we ramped up human reproduction rates to compensate for the loss of 2 in 5 of our offspring dying from infectious diseases. And he's like, BS. People have bigger families than previous generations.
The more economically developed a nation is, the fewer children per family.
Yeah.
Yeah, the birth rates are actually down. They're up in places like, you know, third world Africa.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, United States, Western Europe, Australia, they're down.
Yeah, of course.
But nationally, pertussis cases have increased 24% over this same period last year. I mean, it's just senseless. There's no reason for it. It's a vaccine. Just get the vaccine, folks.
Even if you believe that 1 in 100 kids who gets vaccinated gets autism, compared to the number of kids that might die from whooping cough or hepatitis,
chicken pox,
anything like that, it's still far greater than the number of kids.
Well, and look at the vaccine reporting system, and all this really does, this isn't like the vaccine caused it. It's like, you know, someone got the vaccine and then this happened, and they're like, oh, here's this vaccine and look at the reportings and all these people got, you know, such and such bad reaction, and you get there and it's like 100 people got this reaction out of millions who got the vaccine. It's like, yeah, we don't really have much of a perspective on this, do we?
It's Matt Cow all over again. People, yep. Like, only 149 people died, and people just went all crazy. And it's even worse now when you have instant media and everything. Like, they just like, oh my goodness, someone died because of this random vaccine. And see, I told you. And you can and say, yeah, we were right. See? Even though it's been proven time and time again. So please, I'm begging you, all of us are begging you, please, for your children, for everyone, seriously, get your vaccines. Vaccinate your kids. I can see why it's going on like in the Middle East or something where they don't have that type of medical and infrastructure. But here where we have the structure to have these vaccinations, to have it, and this stuff is happening, it blows my mind, and it's ignorance that is hurting and killing innocent people, and I can't stand that.
Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. All right, time for some good news. One of the Supreme Court cases we said we'd report on here is the Susan B. Anthony List case. And this is the one where a pro-life group opposed the re-election of Democratic Congressman Steve Dryhouse in Ohio. And they took out billboards where they likened his vote for Obamacare to supporting taxpayer-funded abortion. So what did Dryhouse do? Did he use his own freedom of speech to counter theirs? Did he engage the public in a debate on the issue? No, he went to the Ohio Elections Commission and got them to pull the billboards. They threatened the billboard company with legal action, so the SBA List ads didn't run. And they also ran the group before the commission, and the commission ruled against it. Of course, completely split along party lines. Imagine that.
Shocker.
So they sued in federal court and went all the way to the Supreme Court. And surprisingly, the Court of Appeals sided with the state, saying that the SBA List didn't have standing because they couldn't show, quote, an imminent threat of future prosecution. But now the Supreme Court has ruled, in what can only be described as a smackdown, they decided 9-0 that the appeals court erred. Erred, that's a fancy legal term for got it completely freaking wrong.
9-0. I mean, what's
9-0.
When's the last time you've seen something like this? Like, across the board, I mean, that's amazing to me. I mean, that's just been, I mean, this must be very rare, because at least there's always this one or two. But it's like, when it's 9, like, you know you screwed up.
Well, I mean, we have all these 5-4 decisions that can go either way. Now it's 9, yeah.
Wow.
And they said, quote, the threat of future enforcement of the false statement statute is substantial. The specter of enforcement is so substantial that the owner of the billboard refused to display SBA's message after receiving a letter threatening commission proceedings. On these facts, the prospect of future enforcement is far from imaginary or speculative.
Wow. I mean, how many times have you seen in internet debates and stuff like that that people just don't even talk about it? They just move on. Like, oh my God, this is bad. Let's sit down and talk about it. Nope. It's bad. If you're against it, you're a horrible, horrible person or what have you. No debate. Maybe there'll be some debate here, and honestly, we'll find something, you know, something better can come along. That sort of thing. That's what debate should be. Instead of just, well, my side is automatically right and your side is automatically wrong. Just, you know, the world is not like that.
Now, what they didn't do, because they couldn't, it wasn't a question before the court, they didn't rule in favor of SBA List, saying that, of course, it was free speech, you morons. They weren't able to say that, but this does allow SBA List to go ahead and proceed in the Sixth Circuit Court with their complaint. So, best of luck to them on that. And by the way, Dryhouse lost the election, just in case you were wondering.
I mean, I'm glad that the Supreme Court ruled the way it did, but I do wish that they had gone. As you said, see, this is a free speech issue.
Well, they weren't able to because there wasn't a lower court ruling saying that. The lower court stopped it in its tracks, saying, you can't sue because you don't have standing. So they never made any free speech claim for the Supreme Court to review. That's how it works. Now that the Supreme Court has said they have standing, they can go back and have the case. And then if they say it's not free speech, they can appeal that to the Supreme Court once they make that ruling.
Yeah, this is free speech, though. This should be protected by free speech.
Oh, absolutely.
It is free speech. And the person who might disagree with it should just say, okay, this is dumb and idiotic, you know, that sort of thing. That, to me, is a bit dangerous when someone in Congress can say, well, this guy doesn't, oh, this person is making a funny little face about me or anything else, take it down, or I will use my power to take it down and just take away your free speech. That is something we should be avoiding. Not, you know, seems that our country seems to be more people are trying to cheer that on nowadays. Hopefully we'll find out that this will be a free speech thing, and they just toss this whole thing out. And hopefully the person apologizes, because, you know.
He's a politician. He's not going to admit any wrongdoing.
I know, but, you know, be nice. I know, I'm forever. I'm just eternally optimist. You should not be cheering this stuff on, because eventually, someone who's a pro-war candidate, say he's killing innocent people, like the war in Iraq or something. They want to go back and waste more troops' lives, and the guys say, take that down, and there's precedence because this person did it with but it always turns around. Always. If you try to take someone's freedom, no matter how dumb or anything else, it always turns around. It always bites you in the back. Always have, always will.
Well, we had a few examples of that in last week's podcast. It's, you know, we're going to ban this, we're going to restrict, we're going to stop someone from hearing it, and it just ends up making more popular and gets all this attention for it.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be at all surprised. I mean, I don't remember this particular incident. This is back in 2010. I don't remember this particular incident when it happened, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if all of the, you know, Republicans and right-wing and pro-life people had, you know, grabbed a copy of this billboard and spread it all around the social media and say, here's the billboard they don't want you to see, that type of thing.
Of course.
You know, and it was going to give them more attention for it.
Exactly. Once you start doing something, especially in this day and age, it never goes away. You just got to be careful and put stuff on there and put things that you always have to be a bit careful. You know, you don't want to be like, well, I'm going to block this from the internet because it always works. And said everyone and realize, oh, crap, it doesn't work at all.
No, it doesn't. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. So more bad news in the area of YouTube and copyrights. It's great to have a partnership on YouTube where you can create your own original content and have it monetized. And of course, a lot of bands have done this, from major labels right down to independent artists. But now, Google is making all of these deals with the big labels, and it looks like the indies are going to be left out to dry.
The big guys are not, they don't want to be dinosaurs, but they are dinosaurs. Screw everything else. We need to be around. It's sad. And people with good ideas and people with new innovative ways of music, they just like, you have to sign up with a big corporation, even though you don't.
Yeah. Now, I want to make it clear what they aren't doing, because there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, they're banning independent artists. They're going to kick them off. Nope, they're not. If you're an independent artist or even just a guy in your bedroom with a guitar singing your own songs, they aren't going to kick you off YouTube. They aren't going to take your videos down. They aren't going to be blocking them or anything like that. What they are doing is stopping you from monetizing them. So even though the content is absolutely 100% yours, you can't do what people with podcasts or how-to videos or even just videos of their children can do. All of those videos can be monetized on a partner channel, but an original song cannot be. In order to monetize a song, it would have to be in YouTube's Content ID platform.
See, there it is. Oh, you can do it. You can do it, but, you know, you still have to sign up with everything. You don't get any money. You can't support yourself. The only way to get any type of financial is just sign up with these big companies. And it's a shame, because YouTube, it is a great platform for not only music, but podcasts. But it's just, when you look at stuff like this, it's just like they're just trying to inch their way, and they're trying so hard to just squeeze, you know, take someone's people's work and art, everything, and take it away from them. They just want to continue being relevant, even though they're not relevant anymore. You don't need to sign up with RCA. You don't need to sign up with the RIAA to make money. You can do that on your own. They hate that. And people like say, well, you know, if you don't really like, and I hate this argument, and I guarantee you someone in the comments are going to put this out there, and please stop. Don't do this. Don't. And say, well, if you really love the art, you don't need to make money. No, I hate that argument, because why is it at that? Why do people who are, you have to sign with some company, why can't you, who are not doing hurting anyone, doing anything at all, who posted online, be it music or doing video reviews or doing anything other than material, to actually monetize it? Why is it a bad thing? And the hard thing is, people will honestly will support these people and say, well, you know, it's their music. And no, it's not their music. It is these creators' music.
Sony did not write Happy Birthday to You, but you have to pay them if you sing it in public. So, yeah, what you would have to do is submit your song to the Content ID system. But there's a problem. The deal that YouTube struck with Warner Music Group, Universal Music Group, and Sony Music Entertainment precludes them from making any such deal with an independent label. Instead, independent labels have all these ridiculous requirements that they don't require of the big labels. Things like you have to guarantee global rights, which most indie labels won't be able to do because there's all these ridiculously complicated copyright laws all over the world. They also have some exclusivity agreements that would mean they couldn't also put their music on iTunes or other platforms. Again, major labels, no such limitation. And they'd also pay the indies far less than they would the major labels for the same amount of views, or even what the indies could make on a lot of those other platforms that you mentioned. So, I mean, it's ridiculous.
It frustrates me when you see people who work so hard and they just go like, you know what, they don't want that. It just makes people feel like there's no real chance of them ever getting support. So they have no other choice but to sign Sony Music Group or Universal Music Group. I have no other choice but to sign up to them.
Yeah, YouTube's sort of in a pickle here. I mean, because they're right up there with Netflix in terms of bandwidth hogs, right?
I think Netflix is a much bigger bandwidth. Something like one third of internet traffic is just Netflix or something like that.
Yeah, but YouTube's up there too, like one fifth or something. You know, Comcast, AT&T, they're all going to come and hit them up.
Yeah, and a lot of those are along with the music labels. They're part of the same company.
Mm-hmm.
I said earlier, one of the big music companies they struck a deal with was Warner Music Group. And, of course, they're right along with Time Warner. And
You know, if some 14-year-old makes a music video with just in some rock band, I mean, they can still submit those videos, it's just that they can't monetize them.
Correct.
Right.
Even if it's their own original music, apparently from what they're saying, they can't monetize it.
It's a bit of a crappy compromise, but it's one that had to happen.
YouTube would just be fine, you know, let everyone put their videos up, let them play all over the world, let everyone see it, look at the ads, make money, and then great, we all go home and look at our bank accounts and see what we're doing. But, you know, the fact is, you've got all these copyright laws everywhere. You've got the DMCA. I forget what the equivalent is in the UK, but all over the world, there's all these different laws, and they have to tread carefully. Because, you know, one thing slips through, and there's all this liability. The YouTube, they could go after YouTube for this stuff, and, yeah.
What was it, back in, like, 05 or 06 when YouTube first happened? And Viacom sued them for, God forbid, they had clips of the Colbert Report on there.
How dare they make his show more popular and drive more viewers to watch him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, you know, people, they just don't understand. They just, hopefully, in the near-time future, we might be reading something like, say, the Supreme Court rules that DMCA is, like, unconstitutional or something.
You're probably going to have to get rid of at least three justices for that, because they all worked for law firms that were heavily in with the big media companies.
It would still be 6-3.
I mean, the entertainment industry, that's the thing. You know, they still want to act like there's only three channels on TV, and the only way to see a movie is to go to the theaters.
This is the same entertainment medium who hated the VCR coming out. They wanted to fight tooth and nail to not have the VCR, thinking it's going to be like Jack the Ripper, you know, coming and destroying, like, the poor, pathetic little, the Hollywood. But meanwhile, it made Hollywood how much more money, people? Went and saw great classic films again. Just you know, they always fight against new technologies.
But they're also very two-faced because they keep saying, you know, if you pirate music, you're taking food out of the mouths of these poor starving artists. They don't care about the poor starving artists. They're hanging them out to dry in here with this YouTube deal.
I don't know if I can still remember pre-breakup of AT&T would send you, like, notices that they called your house and that they verified that you had a quote unquote foreign device, aka an answering machine.
Yeah.
And that was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
This is just once again that everybody is scared that what happened to the record companies with iTunes is going to happen to them. iTunes was such a great liberating thing for music, but it pretty much destroyed the record industry. They never want that happening again, so just it's one big cluster.
History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit libertyclassroom.com. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now it's time to give the public a cure for this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to Dr. Mehmet Oz. We haven't done him before, but it's not as if he hasn't deserved it.
My mom loves Dr. Oz, and she watches the show and everything. And honestly, at first, like, he's pretty, you know, harmless. I mean, but when I looked at this, it's just, yeah, he's not harmless.
Yeah, he's one of those doctors who goes on TV to sell his snake oil supplements. And recently, he was called before a Senate subcommittee, which chastised him about all these ridiculous weight loss treatments he was hawking on his show. And so Dr. Oz opens his mouth on TV about these BS products like green coffee extract and all of its supposed treatments. He was touting that as a weight loss treatment, which, at best, these remedies and everything of his are unproven. In many cases, they're completely disproven. And they're also touted as safe products. They're just supplements, and they're all natural and all that, and they have no side effects, which is far from the truth. Many of these are downright dangerous. And just for an example, I want to talk about St. John's wort. Dr. Oz and all sorts of people have been touting this as a natural remedy for depression. Now, it actually has been verified that taking St. John's wort will have a small antidepressant effect if you take enough of it. But that's because it contains MAO inhibitors. Much better MAO inhibitors were sold as pharmaceuticals for years, but were phased out by later drugs because MAO inhibitors, and this includes St. John's wort, have terrible diet and drug interactions. Most of them have now been taken off the market entirely, but people see Dr. Oz on TV, and then they get this supplement, and they aren't advised in any way about these dangerous interactions. They don't know what are the things in the diet that's going to cause it, or they might be taking other medications, not only for depression, but for other things. And not only are they not told about these interactions, it's just the opposite. They're told it's safe, and they don't have to worry about it. And this is just irresponsible. I mean, if you take St. John's wort, you're either going to take so little of it that there will be no effect at all, or you'll be in danger of these hideous side effects of interactions, which is exactly what these alt-med yahoos complain about with big pharma products and claims that theirs don't have.
You know, it's just, you know, if it feels good, even though we have no doctors or anything else, it has to be good. You know, the guy, he's a doctor, so...
But it's natural. Anything natural has to be good.
Yeah, like anthrax.
Or cocaine.
Like botulism. Well, wait a minute. What am I talking about? They shoot their faces full of botulism. All right, so after Dr. Oz goes on national TV and says how great all these supplements are, the companies that make and sell these products uses quotes. One quote of his about green coffee extract that was passed around by all these people. He said, quote, "You may think magic is make-believe, but this little bean has scientists saying they found the magic weight loss for every body type." That could not be further from the truth. The opinion of the scientific community is completely counter to this and so many other claims that he makes.
Wow, that is That's amazing to say all this stuff. And doesn't he have, like, say, for example, a team or something to say, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't go out and say something this huge and extraordinary. Because if this was, because you know what you say, extraordinary claims need extraordinary evidence, right?
Yep.
You know, that's like, where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Look, every type of scientist, make sure. Make sure if it's done, make sure it's verified and everything else. And if it is, shout it from the rooftop. Shout it from everyone. Go on not only your show, but every media outlet and say everything else and we find something. Because this would be great. But more often than not, these guys don't want to do that because that affects their bottom line. It's all about making money for them. And they just do not care about the science. They just care about their own bank account.
Yep. So listen to what Dr. Oz had to say. Quote, "My job, I feel, on the show is to be a cheerleader for the audience. And when they don't think they have hope, when they don't think they can make it happen, I want to look, and I do look everywhere, including in alternative healing traditions, for any evidence that might be supportive to them." And he also defended his miracle claims as, quote, "flowery language." And he also said, quote, "When I feel as a host of a show that I can't use words that are flowery, that are exultatory, I feel like I've been disenfranchised, like my power has been taken away to get people. You don't want to be on a pulpit talking about how passionate you are about life and thinking, well, you know, if I use that word, it's going to be quoted back to me. And yes, the 100 words around it are all about doing other things right, so I'm very respectful. I've heard the message. I've told my colleagues at the FTC I get it."
So basically, I should be able to lie to my audience if it makes them feel better.
Right.
Yeah, it just makes them feel better, you know? Come on, Shane, Jonathan. It's not about feeling good. It's not about doing good. You know, that's how the world works now. That's how everything is. It's got to make them feel good and everything instead of
But listen to everything he said. I mean, he talks about being a cheerleader, about giving them hope, about, you know, looking in all sorts of places and not wanting to be disenfranchised. He said not one word about wanting to be scientifically accurate.
And that is the most important thing. If he wants to be an entertaining show, then be an entertaining show. But when you say this type of flowery language while promoting stuff that's not actually scientific, that's not flowery language. That's dangerous type of stuff. You're giving them false hope.
That's exactly it. It's false hope. I mean, people aren't going to take this coffee bean extract and actually lose the weight. Or if they do, it's because they did other things, like they actually got control of their diet and started exercising and all that. And then when they do lose the weight, they say it was the coffee bean when it was actually them all along.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's taking that away from them.
And it's sad that people fall for it because they want that hope. They want to feel like, you know, they can't have that. It's hard for them. You know, they don't have the time for exercise. And they say, hey, this pill or any, all this type of stuff can help them. But sadly, it doesn't.
Pretty much all the quote-unquote doctors that have come out of the Oprah Winfrey line have all been quack. Because there's him, Dr. Phil.
I've never actually done any research on Dr. Phil, so I don't know enough to say if he's a quack.
There's somebody else now.
Oh, Joseph Merkel is another one.
It says something there that all these people now have daytime TV shows. And really, again, it's fad medicine. It's using the, you know, the current buzzwords of the time, all natural, GMO-free.
Gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
And take your antioxidants, and that'll cure everything.
Get your gluten, eat nothing but gluten-free brownies. That'll make you lose weight.
Yeah, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So that's why Dr. Mehmet Oz has to be this week's biggest bogon emitter. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your Bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers. And Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. but you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. And now it's time to homeopathically dilute this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
So guys, have you ever seen the excellent skeptic video, Here Be Dragons?
No.
That's a good one. Check it out. Have you seen those YouTube videos called In Fact?
I think so.
Yeah, or listen to the Skeptoid podcasts or those great articles on Skeptoid.com?
I do take a little peek at the Skeptoid stuff, sometimes.
Yeah. Those are all done by Brian Dunning. And guess what he wants to do? He wants to drink HIV-contaminated blood. Now, don't worry, he's not this week's idiot. He hasn't gone all HIV denialist on us. What he wants to do is drink a homeopathic preparation of HIV-contaminated blood diluted to 30C for a film he's making. So this is one of those skeptical demonstrations of how ridiculous homeopathy is. Like the skeptic groups that committed homeopathic suicide by downing lots of homeopathic sleeping pills, or, you know, James Randi downing bottles of the stuff during the talks he's done on the subject.
And I look at this, and it's just that it's just a little bit weird. It's a bit weird, you know, that this whole it's shocking to say the least. Because I mean, homeopathic drinking, HIV contaminated blood. You're like, holy crap, you know.
Well, that's the whole idea. You go, holy crap, but then he does it to prove the point that long before he gets to 30C, there is absolutely nothing left of the original blood in there. That's the point. But the idiots this week are the doctors and researchers who've refused to go along with this, you know, because he's been trying to find a lab to do it and the experts, and they've called it, quote, foolhardy and reckless ignorance. One even called Dunning a Darwin Award candidate.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
they're making like there's this big danger if he takes homeopathically diluted HIV contaminated blood when there's nothing.
Now, I mean, you know, this was something I would actually say, but when you look at it, and I read the whole article, and I'm like, maybe this thing seems to be safe. And honestly, and the sad part is, people will still believe in homeopathy. They'll say, see, it protected you.
Yep.
And, or if it doesn't, we're like, well, he must not do it right. See, that's the thing. It's just like, there's no either or with that.
Yeah, I mean, because like, when I first read that, just when you hear that first part, I'm going to drink HIV-contaminated blood.
Yeah.
But then when you read it, then you're like, oh, okay.
Well, according to Dunning, the advice they gave him is, quote, use something less deadly. Use something that's curable in case something goes wrong. Use something like ricin that doesn't require the handling of contaminated human blood. I am not moved by these suggestions. Using something less deadly does not shock and terrify the way HIV does. Falling back to a lesser toxin would suggest that there is some risk in doing this with HIV. The mathematical fact is that there is no risk. No risk. Anyone who understands the science should not be concerned that there is any danger here, assuming proper laboratory procedures are followed. No substitute produces the visceral fear that HIV-contaminated blood evokes. There is no risk at all in this demonstration. No doctor, mathematician, statistician, or homeopath should be in the slightest concerned about its safety when proper lab procedures are followed. But so far, all that I have spoken to have used language like that at the beginning of this post. Science fans are quick to criticize homeopathy, but when it comes to actually drinking a preparation of HIV-contaminated blood, most are reluctant to put their money where their mouth is. The result? Homeopathic products continue to thrive in the marketplace, enriching charlatans, preying on the sick, and eroding the public intellect.
Well, again, people just, they don't trust the science. Like, well, science doesn't say everything.
But these are the scientists.
Yeah.
That's the thing. These are the scientists saying that.
But I think a lot of people, they're worried, because it is, it's not as bad as it was in the 80s, where people thought it was homosexuals and such. And people still think that they're idiots.
It was originally actually called GRID. It was gay-related immune deficiency, because it was just the reason why it was around homosexual males was just the founder effect. They were just the ones who got it first, and then it spread to everyone else. And then they realized, oh no, this goes everywhere.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why. I think they're terrified, because it's not because they're idiots. I think they're just worried because there might be some lawsuits. Or,
yeah, it's probably a liability thing.
Yeah, it is a liability, because no one's going to sit there and be like, well, wait, sign that waiver and such.
Well, there's something like a 1 in 10 trillion, trillion, trillion chance that he'll even get a single molecule of the original blood, and a molecule wouldn't be enough to infect him. You know, because you have to get that whole HIV-infected cell in. If he drank one vial of this 30C solution every second, he would only have a 1 in 100 billion trillion chance of getting a single molecule of the original blood by the time the universe ends. 1 second now till the universe ends, still a 1 in 100 billion trillion chance of getting even a single molecule of blood. It's pretty much the safest thing he could possibly drink. He'd have a much bigger chance of being hit by a meteor and a crashing plane simultaneously while being struck by a lightning and shot by a terrorist, as his wife has identical quintuplets after being elected president, than he would in getting HIV from a homeopathic dilution of contaminated blood.
Yeah. So, but yet, again, people, it's the fear. And until that fear goes away, I don't think this test is going to happen. And like I said before, even if they do, the people will still say he wasn't doing wrong. He wasn't on his right foot on the full moon where all the planets aligned, or something like that.
Yeah, but even if it doesn't convince the homeopaths, maybe it'll convince these scientific researchers and everyone else too, and help them understand these statistics. I mean, it's a human failing. We dramatically overestimate very low risks. You can tell someone, you know, there's a 1 in 10 trillion, trillion, trillion chance. They say, well, there's still that chance. So I'm putting a link in the show notes to an article by Eliezer Yudkowsky, which concludes, quote, "If an argument is not certain, you're allowed to ignore it. Like, if the likelihood is zero, then you have to give up the belief. But if the likelihood is 1 over Google, you're allowed to keep it. Now, it's a free country and no one should put you in jail for illegal reasoning, but if you're going to ignore an argument that says that the likelihood is 1 over Google, why not also ignore an argument that says the likelihood is 0? I mean, as long as you're ignoring the evidence anyway, why is it so much worse to ignore certain evidence than uncertain evidence? If you're going to ignore a probabilistic counterargument, why not ignore proof too?" And that's exactly what these scientists and researchers are doing, and they should know better. And if they're not convinced, then is it any wonder that we can't persuade people not to take homeopathic treatments?
Just because there is a risk, it's such a dramatically low risk, there practically is none.
Yeah. Yeah, but for all intents and purposes, there is no risk. Which is why all of the scientists refusing to do this because of the risks to Dunning are all this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this I Am Not a Loony edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free, but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page, and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks to Charles Thomas and Jonathan Lochey for joining me.
Bye-bye!
Thanks for having me, and it was great to be back again.
Until next time, here's a quote from Pierre-Simon de Laplace. "The most important questions of life are, for the most part, really only problems of probability." The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License. Bogosity. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not. Based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again. So, Jonathan, you've got like a last-minute story you want us to look at?
Okay, yeah, so everyone's favorite alternative cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, is getting its own bowl game.
The Bitcoin Bowl.
Yeah, well, it's actually the Bitcoin processing company BitPay, but they decided to name it the Bitcoin Bowl because more sponsorship for Bitcoin. It's located in St. Petersburg, Florida. If you're not familiar with college football, this bowl game is pretty freaking far down the ladder.
You got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, this is good news. This is interesting, right?
So it's actually sponsored by the Bitcoin Foundation.
No, it's sponsored by a Bitcoin processing company called BitPay.
Oh, okay.
And they are planning, they definitely are planning on, you can buy tickets, concessions, merchandise through Bitcoin for the game. So that'll be some really cool stuff.
Well, you know what this means, man? That means the Duke City Lounge Bowl is actually on its way. Because if Bitcoin can get one, that means I can.
We need the Bogosity Bowl is what we need.
It was $300,000 a year for 3 years.
Wow. And that's what, 4 bitcoins or something?
Yeah.
No, it's more than that.
Oh, well, I got to start saving my pennies up.
So, it'll be interesting because if you've seen those ATMs that you can let exchange dollars for Bitcoin, those things are a massive pain in the ass.
Yeah, I've read about those, and it's like, this seems kind of unworkable. they got some working out to do with the technology before they do that.
Now, granted, there are some food trucks and stuff that's around here that they'll take payment in Bitcoin, and those are relatively easy to do. You know, if you have your smartphone with a Bitcoin app and they have theirs, you can just transfer it from one wallet to another real quick. It's just when the cash to Bitcoin conversion goes, then it's just a unworkable cluster.
Yeah, but hey, it's the start, and the Bitcoin revolution is coming, or it's already here,
or it's already gone.
Yeah,
you missed it.
Well, I don't know, because you see the IRS wants to tax Bitcoins as assets instead of as a currency.
Yeah, I think we covered that, which is ridiculous. It means you need to keep track of when you bought your Bitcoins and what the price was and when you paid for it and what, you know, it's just a pain.
Oh, well, they have to do something.
And what happens if you're a miner?
Well, they have to do something. But hey, you know what? The Bitcoin Express keeps going away. Keep going. Hopefully it doesn't break down with, like, the Lex Express. Wrestling Insider Points for the win. Goodbye, everybody.